The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddling Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. This is Bicycle Talk, to be broadcast August 16th, 2023 on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment. We should be able to get back to you. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to leave us some information to contribute to the show, please feel free to send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Or if you're listening to me live right now, you can just leave a comment below and I will get back to you. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify, and I am working on a YouTube channel. We'll get to that later. Maybe in a couple of weeks, I'll talk to you a little bit more about that one. Ron's Rant of the Week. The creak of the carbon frame. Yes, siree, I've got the creak. I've got the deadly creak. I have been, going through, trying to figure out the places where it is, and of course, you always assume right away it's in the bottom bracket area because carbon bikes just resonate and they make horrible noises, and that's what they do. And the very slightest imperfection in your pedal stroke can be picked up on a carbon bike. It's like a bass drum. Anyway, for what it's worth, I had gone over everything, and of course, you know, this was really obvious. It was the bottom bracket. Every time I got out of the saddle, I would climb a hill and I would, get creaking on each downstroke as I was punching hard on the pedals going up a hill. We're going to talk about it more in the Mechanical Minute. And in the Vulnerable User Department, So, you know, cyclists and walkers and pedestrians, I should say, runners, whatever, anybody who is not in the confines of a metal tank, i.e. today's automobile, then they are considered vulnerable users. And so in the Vulnerable User Department, I have to rant about this. The Los Angeles Police Department Traffic Safety PSA scolds pedestrian for getting hit by a red light runner. Really? You gotta be kidding me. The person ran a red light, and the PSA that went out was scolding the person who was crossing in front of a car that was running through a red light. A little more in the show. I'll get back to that. That just irks me to no end, because it could have been a cyclist. It could have been your mother. It could have been your father. It could have been your grandmother. You know, it doesn't really matter who it is or what they were doing when they were doing crossing. They were crossing when the little walk guy was showing up on the light. Anyway, but of course, this and more in the show. On the positive side, the Steeplechase Bike Tour is heading our way, only in a few days to go. It'll be Saturday, August 19th. It's coming up soon. I'm spending a lot of the time this week with volunteers helping me mark the roads, so we have clearly marked roads when you're out there riding your bike. We would love to have you come out and visit us out here in northeastern Connecticut and see the beautiful roads that Fran and I are always raving about when we're out riding our bikes and talking about it on the show. So if you are so inclined to do so, you can go to Bike Reg and you can register there, or you can even show up the day of the event. So anyway, we're going to talk a lot more about that a little bit deeper into the show here, because I want to make sure I give them some good time as far as that goes. Moving on, let's see. One other thing I wanted to bring up too. I hate to bring this up because, God, it's just August, but guess what? It's back to school time. Yeah, it is. Oh, I know you know it. You've seen the ads on TV. You see the flyers coming in your mailbox. It's back to school time. So what does that mean? It means that there's going to be, hopefully, in certain areas and urban locations, there are going to be more kids on the road on bikes, riding their bikes to school, if they have a good plan in their town in which to do that. But if they don't, have you ever considered approaching your local school about being a bicycle bus driver. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in the show, too. I'll explain that a little bit more. Mechanical minute and cycling tips. All right. Talked about this on the rant. The rant was about the creaking bottom bracket. Yeah, I got a creaking bottom bracket. Yeah, there's not a whole lot you can do about it until you start replacing parts. And that's essentially what I'm going to be doing with this thing because, you know, I tried all the obvious things. The old steel bikes, not to mention steel bikes 10 times over, but the old steel bikes just had steel bottom brackets and they had cups that screwed into the steel frame, and you could pretty much ride in silence for the rest of the history of that bike if you used a good quality seal bearing bottom bracket, right? Okay, not so much. Now we got carbon, now we got aluminum, and aluminum bikes talk and carbon bikes talk, and steel bikes still are the ride of silence. Yes, they are. So anyway, I've got a carbon bike, and I knew this was eventually going to happen on my bike because it happened on a lot of the bikes that we sold, and a lot of other manufacturers had this problem during these days of putting, you know, sealed press fit cups into carbon frames. Not all carbon frames are alike. They're not all perfect. They're not perfect like a perfectly machined, let's say, aluminum and or steel bike. So there's a little bit of an imperfection to that. And, you know, back in the day when we were building bikes up from frames, we used to face the bottom bracket and see if anybody out there is old school enough to understand what that means. But anyway, you'd face the bottom bracket to make sure it was square. So when the cup went in, it, you know, fit firm and square against the frame. Long story, long time ago, we're talking 70s, baby. Anyway, press fit bottom brackets and carbon frame. Okay, so my bottom bracket finally decided to creak. And like I said, we used to have this problem when I was working. I was working for Bianchi Bicycles at the time. I own a Bianchi bicycle. It's a very nice bike. It's an Infinito CV. It's a very nice carbon frame. I like it a lot. I've been riding it a lot lately. I know, don't tell my steel bike. My steel bike's very, very hurt. It's very, very, it's crying downstairs in the corner. But it has another problem which needs to be resolved before I'm going to start riding that one again. Problem is the guy who rides it got too old and changed the gearing around, and now it doesn't shift like I want it to shift. But that's another story. Another show, another mechanical minute, I guess. So anyway, I started riding the carbon bike again, and I'm kind of like enjoying it. You know, it's nice, it's light, stiff. It's not as light as other carbon bikes out there because it's a European carbon bike, and European carbon bikes tend to be a little heavier than American carbon bikes do. There's a reason for that. There's a standard over in Europe which makes it so that the manufacturers of the frames actually have to make their bikes a little bit higher grade standard as far as thickness of carbon, etc., so that they don't break every year like some of the other bikes out there. I'm not going to point any fingers in any directions, but I will say that they are bikes that are typically spec'd out here in the United States. I'll just leave it at that, and I'll let you guys use your imagination to figure this all out. But anyway, so my bike came with a SRAM insert press fit BB, which basically the Shimano cups for the Shimano Altegra cranks that I have on the bike, they screw into this insert, and the insert is then pressed into the frame, and that's kind of the way it works until it doesn't. And, you know, eventually so back up. A big shout out, first of all, to Wheels Manufacturing for solving another one of the continual problems created by the cost-effective but designed-to-fail engineering of quality bicycles. Ooh, I said it. I really did. So, yeah, in order to cut a few bucks here and there, there are other designs that come out, and they come out with these great designs, and it cuts down on the cost of putting the bike together so that the retailer now can sell the bike for X amount of dollars versus a, you know, Y amount of dollars, whatever, and Y is next in the alphabet. Anyway, so it's you know, yeah, it's to cut costs, it's to make it price competitive, that sort of thing. Anyway, SRAM made this thing where, you know, they make these cups, and, you know, maybe next week when I have it all apart, I can bring that up to screen here and I can actually show you what it is. But anyway, it's a great design until it's not. And what we had a problem with in the industry back in the day was guys like me of the, you know, massive stature that I am and and the enormous amount of wattage that I put out.
If things, you're massive, what does that make me?
You're the same. You don't have the problem yet on your bike, and it's because you are not massive and you do not have high wattage on your bike, and that's what this is all about. So, you know, I tend to be a spinner. I tend to, you know, use a little bit less torque on my bottom bracket, but eventually, you know, it happens. And of course, the bearings are outboard bearings, and this is another interesting thing. Outboard bearings on bicycles get a lot more stress than inboard bearings do. So the inboard bearings, ones that are actually inside the shell themselves, actually last longer and receive a lot less torque than the ones on the outside of the bottom bracket. As a matter of fact, I remember another thing way back in the days of being in the bicycle industry where they first started putting, Shimano was making all these outboard bearing sealed bearings, which are really great. They're really super. Sealed bearings, real smooth, hollow axles going through, super lightweight, really, really nice, and frames are breaking right and left because the stays on the frame were not manufactured strong enough to be able to handle the amount of torque that you were putting on the rear end of the bike because of the because the bearings were out further and you have a lot more leverage. It's, you know, every problem that's created by an engineer is designed to be fixed by someone who is a good mechanic. So, you know, the mechanics of the world figured this out later on. Actually, the engineers did too. And we have now what we have today. So things are a little bit better and the specs on the bottom bracket areas are usually a little bit bigger and, you know, it's stiffer and stronger, and that creates another whole can of worms, but we won't get into that today either, because right now I'm just focusing on this bottom bracket. So I am not that very big person, but eventually in time and in riding over the years, maybe getting caught in the rain once or twice, whatever it may be, eventually, you know, you start to get the creak, you get the creak, you get the creak. And when you know it's the bottom bracket, because first of all, I've had seat posts that make the entire bike sound like it's the bottom bracket, but it's not. I've had stems do the same thing. I've had, you know, I mean, carbon creaks are just, they're hard to find sometimes. A pedal in a crank arm can do it. A chain ring bolt loose can do it. But whatever happens, it resonates through the carbon frame. So therefore, we have the carbon creak. This one is definitely the bottom bracket. There's no question about it. And of course, I pulled it out and I looked at it and I went, this is going to be trouble. And I tried to like Teflon tape it back in. Nah, nothing works. Nothing works. It creaks. I got a bottom bracket on order. I'll have it resolved by next week, maybe actually in a few days. But so Wheels Manufacturing comes through and they make, and a number of other companies make this. I'm not you know, endorsing them in any way. I don't get paid to do that sort of thing. If they'd like to talk to me about that, of course we can, but that's beside the point. Wheels makes a great design. It's a bottom bracket that presses in just like the, just like it should in a situation like this, because there's no threading on the carbon, because you can't do that. So it presses in, but it screws together as you're pressing it in. So it's threaded. So there's a shaft that screws into another one, and it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. You put that in and problem is solved, and it's a really cool thing. So anyway, again, there are other folks out there that are doing it. I think Race Face is doing something like that. I believe that you can also get some you know, some knockoff stuff that's out there. There's Chris King, you know, all sorts of really, really good bottom brackets out there. And once you put these things in, you're pretty much all set to go. You can either do them inboard or outboard, no matter, you know, depending on what you would like to do. Either one works really good, and they generally use a higher grade bearing in there too, so you've got that going on. But problem resolved. You put a little bit of light grease on the threads before you screw the sleeves together in the inside, and voila, you have Silent Bike, which is hopefully where I will be in a few days. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. Next week, I will tell you how this all worked out. Well, the reason I shout out Wheels of Boulder is because Wheels Manufacturing, or Wheels of Boulder, as I used to know them, they are now call themselves Wheels Manufacturing. They are also one of the companies out there that makes a plethora of replaceable rear derailleur hangers, and their derailleur hangers are far superior to, I'm going to stick my neck out here on this. They're far superior to 90% of the derailleur hangers that are coming through on stock bikes in the industry. The ones that come on stock bikes in the industry tend to be a little softer. They tend to be a little more flexible. I've had them flex under a very powerful rider, like the one who rips apart the old BB30 real quick in the bottom bracket. It's just, if you bump it against a doorway when you're taking your bike in and out of your house, if you lay your bike down the wrong way in your car, I've seen them get bent that way. They're just fragile and just really soft. They're made out of really, really soft aluminum. Now, they're made for a reason. If your rear derailleur happens to go into the rear wheel, it just snaps off that piece, doesn't ruin your frame, and if you get real lucky, you don't lose your rear derailleur in the process. They kind of were built originally for mountain bikes because mountain bike people are constantly picking a stick up, putting into the spokes, and then ripping the derailleurs off the bikes. But anyway, my steel bike, I might add, my steel bikes, I'm going to say plural because I own more than one of them, they don't have this item on them because they have a good heavy-duty steel hanger. And if that hanger gets ever so slightly bent in any way, you can just put a hanger tool on it, straighten it out, and it doesn't fatigue or compromise that hanger unless it's severely bent, in which case, if that hanger is that severely bent, your bike is probably toast anyway. But that's another story, and we won't get into that right now. I will report back next week on to the show. All right, let's get into the show here. I got to go back to this vulnerable user thing, this LAPD thing. I mean, come on. LAPD traffic safety PSA scolds pedestrian for getting hit by a red light runner. This is I can't make this kind of stuff up. I really can't. It's amazing, and it's I just find things like this hard to believe, but you know, it's out there. All right, this came from Streets Blog just a couple days ago, actually, and there's a lovely picture, and the lovely picture, it's not a lovely picture at all, is a woman holding a cell phone up over her head. Her hands are up over her head, getting ready to protect her head as a speeding car is driving through a red light when the walk signal is clearly on walk. And the photo is really, 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 it's almost scary, actually. And it says a screen grab from the LAPD's Traffic Safety Awareness PSA shows the pedestrian had the right of way, but the PSA takes the pedestrian to task for being on their phone while crossing the street. Well, you know what? So was the person who was driving the car, probably. Maybe the problem here isn't lights and you know, the inability for people to stop at red lights or whatever. Maybe the problem is really the phone. And we've had this discussion before. But the fact that they're, it's National Traffic Safety Awareness Month right now, which apparently means that it's time for the LAPD, one of the leading implemental leading implementing agencies for LA's Vision Zero program to recycle last year's misguided PSA that admonishes a pedestrian for being mowed down by an SUV running a red light at a very high rate of speed. Pedestrian fatalities have been on the rise in LA. In recent years, collisions killing 132 pedestrians in 2021 and another 157 in 2022. The upward trend has seen over the last decade has earned the city a grim distinction of being the second deadliest for pedestrians in this country. Yeah, all of which means traffic safety awareness on the part of road users is more important than ever, but it's also more important than that those enforcing the laws understand them. So anyway, it's just really a sad thing. The scene opens up with a woman. She's walking down the sidewalk. She's texting her very supportive husband about how she nailed a job interview. As she approaches the curb, she sees that she does not have the right of way, and then she pauses, and then it's like every good Angelino in Los Angeles person, she pushes the beg button at least three times, and even after the red light comes on to acknowledge that she has pressed it. Because we do that. I did that yesterday in Willimantic. I pressed that button three times before.
Right.
It's kind of a thing. Once you press it, and or if you have the one that just senses your hand and it starts beeping, it's been activated. Unless it hasn't, which is the problem that we had yesterday. There's an intersection in town that obviously the pedestrian walkway thing is not working. I should probably report that to the town. That wouldn't be a bad idea. So when the light changes and the walk signal comes on, she does not enter the crosswalk for a full 3 seconds. She is on her phone, true, but she has been given the subset of drivers who gun it through yellow lights ample time to clear the intersection. And because she is standing at one of the downtown intersections that was upgraded with leading pedestrian interval in 2016, I don't know what that means, is clear that she has been given the signal priority. As she steps into the street, SUV comes along and descends upon her in the crosswalk. Just before she is pancaked, the LAPD rewinds the tape, bringing her back to the curb where she is gently made aware of her surroundings by the loving hand of an officer. Tragedy on this particular crosswalk averted. The officer then smiles and tells the viewer, your loved ones are counting on you to make it home safely. Keep your head up and look at what you're missing. This is obviously the officer is not referring to her own failure to cite the driver, who has apparently now managed to run the red light unimpeded by penalties or the pesky bodies of pedestrians. Cue the stock footage of all the good things in life pedestrians can enjoy if they just stop stepping out in the front of scofflaw drivers. So basically, the video is accusing the pedestrian of not paying attention because the pedestrian is too involved in their phone to be able to see the speeding driver running the red light. Back up, just 2 seconds here. The pedestrian was paying enough attention to push the button, not once, not twice, but three times, like we all do. It's human nature. Who knows why? And they then waited another 3 seconds until the walk light had come on. They waited 3 seconds and then crossed. The pedestrian was clearly paying attention. Yeah, maybe they were on their cell phone. Yeah, maybe they were looking down at the cell phone. But the driver of the vehicle was completely in the wrong here. And this type of mentality, this is why we need to have a much stronger conversation with law enforcement about law enforcement, you know, and their job and doing it right. And I know there's a lot of bad air out there about, you know, the police departments these days and some of the things they do. But this is basic stuff, man. This is basic stuff. This is like our friend Chris, friend and listener to the show, Chris, who was hit by a woman who was making a right-hand turn into him as he was going straight. And never, the law enforcement officer never cited her for the fine that is supposed to be in place if you're within 3 feet of a cyclist, because they just don't think that way. This is why we have to change this. So anyway, I'll move on. We got other things to talk about. I just thought this was interesting. When it popped up on my feed, I went, oh my God. Anyway, let's start with the Worlds. Okay, so the Worlds, you know, we saw the big, last week I reported on the men's world and Matthew Vanderpoel, and wow, cool, very good stuff. And then I had stated in last week's program that the women would be next and they were going to be the following day, so I couldn't really report on it now, but now I can. And Lottie Capecchi ends a 50-year Belgian drought in women's elite road race. Yeah, Lottie Capecchi won the women's road race. It came down to a lot of, you know, cat and mouse sprinty stuff at the end, and Lottie won by 7 seconds, and she soloed away and just before the finish line, and she just made the right move at the right time. Demi Vollering was right behind her, Cecile Ludwig right behind her. They finished neck and neck and sprinted it out for second place. So yeah, it was a very, very exciting race. And here's the other part of this, just so you know. She also won 2 world championship medals on the track. Okay, so Lottie Capecchi is on fire right now. She is the hottest woman in the world on a bicycle at the moment. And she was quoted afterwards, "I thought after the 2 medals on the track, it was almost impossible to win again on Sunday. Becoming a 3-time world champion in just 7 days is just crazy." Congratulations, Lottie. Great job. Yeah, the women's road race was yesterday. So if you haven't seen it, you can check it out on the Olympic Channel, I think, is where you can see that. I'm pretty sure. And, you know, you can probably pick up a few YouTube videos here and there, too, if you want to see that final sprint. It's pretty cool. It's good stuff. And just to shout out to U.S. results, women elite individual time trial. Number 1 world champion, Chloe Dygert. Yeah, you've heard that name on the show before. We've talked about Chloe before. And just so you know, to cap it all off, in the women's individual pursuit on the track, number 1, Chloe Dygert again. Again, 2 world championship jerseys. Kind of cool stuff. Great stuff going on out there in the world of cycling. Big changes in world championships. Fun. And then I'll just leave it on and move on to other things that I have on the slate here today. So I had talked about earlier, I mentioned something about being a bicycle bus driver. What does that mean? Does that mean you get on a giant bus and you start pedaling and carry all these kids behind you? It can. It can. And if you go to countries like, Denmark and other lovely places where bicycles are priority, they actually have these things. They have actual bicycle buses and all the little kids are on it. All the kids pedal too. It's so cool. It's way, way cool. That's an expensive piece of equipment. What's not an expensive piece of equipment is kids on their own bikes and with their own little helmets and their, and then having parents or supervisors, adult supervision, riding alongside of them, keeping them in place and riding them down the road and bringing them to school. That is known as being a bicycle bus driver. Yeah, it's kind of a cool thing. This came off of Wired, the website Wired, wired.com. And it says here, "I started a bike bus and you can too. It's official. The best way to improve both your life and community is to get everyone to cycle to school together. If you're part of an elementary, if you're the parent of an elementary school age kid, you've probably heard of a bike bus. It carries a group of children to school in the same way a regular school bus does, except everyone is on bikes. The bus driver, an adult, on a bike, guides a slowly moving group to ride along a predetermined route. Kids and their parents join the group on their own bikes when the pack rolls by. How cool is this? How cool is this? If you live in a community that has the opportunity to be able to do this, let's say your grammar school that your kid goes to is a mile or two away, and you start talking to the other parents, and then you just keep picking them up along the way. What a cool idea. Same way the bus would, except no bus. No bus. Kids on bikes. Kids on bikes. You want to warm Pedal and Ron's heart? Kids on bikes. I love seeing kids on bikes. That's the thing that just that excites me more than anything else I do, is seeing kids on bikes. I just think it's great. We are in a time and era right now where there's a decline in kids being on bicycles, even kids being athletic in any way, and it's criminal what's going on right now. But kids on bikes riding to school, cool thing. Hey, Joel LaChance down there in New Haven, how about starting a bike bus? I see you listening. So anyway, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a really, really cool idea. Do you have to be the parent of one of those kids to be a bike bus driver? No. Could you be an accomplished cyclist or someone who's just spent your entire life advocating cycling? Sure. Anyway, this will be a great follow-up to bike rider training in school. Absolutely. By the way, really cool thing. Forgot to mention it on the positive side. Just got word that the town of Mansfield Board of Education is in decision right now to come up with some more money to add to our bike education program here in the town of Mansfield. And last I heard, we made budget. We've got the funding. The town of Mansfield's addition was going to help us get a container outside the school that we could store all the bicycles in. We're talking about purchasing bicycles, and every fourth grader that goes through our grammar school before they move on to middle school is going to get a complete course in bicycle education and safety. Cool stuff. Part of the curriculum. Yay. Solution to a big problem. So anyway, I forgot that I should have mentioned that in the shout out. You know what? I'll see if I can get some more information from Lon and Bike Mansfield and find out more of what's going on there, because he put a lot of effort into this, and it's just a really, really cool thing. Big shout out to Lon Hulkren, local advocate and former town engineer, who is also a cyclist, who put that whole program together. But what a cool thing, the bicycle bus. I like the bicycle bus. Might be a little tricky in Mansfield here because we are dealing with two major state highways that come through our area. But you know what? I would do it. I would do it if there's anyone else out there. Who is doing the teaching? We will have someone from the League of American Bicyclists who is certified to teach for us. He's our local hero. Dave Wahlberger is going to be very involved with that. And Dave rides his bike, and then he sleeps and eats, and then he rides his bike, and then he sleeps and eats, and then he rides his bike some more. Dave's always on his bike. He's a great guy, and volunteers for lots and lots and lots of projects like this. But anyway, he is totally League of American Bicyclists certified. You can get your certification through the League of American Bicyclists, and they will, there is a fee involved on that, but there is a way to get your knowledge up to a level where you can teach people bicycle safety. And it's not just kids, we're talking about adults too, and doing programs like this. So, kind of cool. Check that out, Joel. You'll find it. Anyway, so this is just a good idea. And in so many ways, the whole concept of it, the visual concept of this, is a great idea, because it's, you know, I go out and ride my bike, and I go out and ride with three or four adults, and I'm one of those Lycra-clad guys on a bike. You know, I'm one of those people. And it just presents better when it's kids. It presents a lot better. When you're out there and you're riding with kids and you're riding as a group and you're riding uniformly and you're instructing the kids and explaining them how to ride their bikes, then it's just great. And it needs, okay. If it's going to be sustainable, it needs to be taught by the teachers. You know, I think you're probably right, Joel. And, you know, they could easily get certified to do this sort of thing. It's just a matter of them taking a course and passing it through the League of American Bicyclists. But you're absolutely right. You know, I'm going to mention that to the physical ed teacher at our new grammar school. We just consolidated three grammar schools into one, and we had this like crazy new building that is zero carbon emitting, and it's way cool. It's one of the first ones in the state of Connecticut. It's very cool. Anyway, I'll go talk to Betsy about this, because you're not wrong, because the kids look up to the teachers, and more so than they look up to their parents. And so it's a role model thing. It definitely is. Cool. I will make mention of that. So anyway, these are the things you can do. These are even if you're just working within a half mile or mile radius of a particular school in your community, try to put something together. You know, talk it up. Talk to people. Go talk to the Board of Education about it. Our Board of Education looked at everything that we're doing, and they went, wow, you guys are on fire here. This is really great. We think we want to donate some money into this program. Perfect. Just what we're looking for. We got bicycles, we got helmets, and we've got instructors that are paid instructors, actually, from League of American Bicyclists, that are going to be leading the way on this. It's just such a cool thing. And every single fourth grader in the town of Mansfield, the town I live in, is going to know about this by the time they leave the elementary school. So, cool stuff. Anyway, consider a bike bus. Kind of a neat idea. Let's move on. Okay, main focus of this show today is I do want to talk about the annual, and I'm talking 32nd annual Steeplechase Bike Tour. Steeplechase Bike Tour has been going on for, yes, a whopping 32 years. Why is it called the Steeplechase? I'll tell you why it's called the Steeplechase. It originally started out funding the Wyndham Area Interfaith Ministries, which is a lovely grouping of all the churches in northeastern Connecticut, and they help people when they're a little down and out, and if they've been, you know, displaced from their homes, or they need extra assistance, or whatever, the Willimantic Area Interfaith Ministries is there to help, and they pool the money together amongst all the churches and help out the people in the community. Good organization. We need, unfortunately, we need more of those organizations. I say unfortunately because not everyone is all well off, and not everything is subsidized well enough to take care of all people. So we have a homelessness problem in this country. We have a few things that are not good in this country, but that's beside the point. But then we have great things like the Steeplechase Bike Tour. Why is it the Steeplechase? Because the rest stops along the way on the route are at churches. Hence, steeples on top of the church. Yeah, so you're chasing steeples, and you're going from one rest stop to another. And one of the comments that has been made, we do have a few rest stops where we have to use the old plastic pots, but one of the comments that was made in the past was, wow, and there's real toilets because you're stopping at a church. Or like our big rest stop out in Scotland Center this year, because the church got sold. The Catholic Church shut down and they sold the building, and then the church across the street was running it for us, but they don't really have the space to do it, and the person who bought the old Catholic Church is now developing into something, I don't know what it is, but is not user-friendly to allowing the church across the street to use their parking lot to do the rest stop. Don't even get me started. Anyway, hence We have a lovely woman that works with us for the steeplechase, and Mary called out and around to the town of Scotland, and they said, well, what about the fire department right down the street? It's a brand new building, big open area, big parking lot, and they have a community room. We got it. So anyway, that's where we're going to have a rest stop there. And it will be supported by members of the Willimantic or the Windham Area Interfaith Ministries, probably from the church down the street. So that'll be kind of cool. So anyway, that's the whole idea behind Steeplechase. There is one stop along the way, though, one very notable stop along the way. It's just about three doors down from our driveway, and it is known as the Holy Cow Family Shelter. And the Holy Cow Family Shelter is basically, it's a like a pavilion type thing that was put up in the middle of a cow field. Cows and what else? What else does David have over there? He has sheep. He has cows. He has. Did I see? Yeah, I saw something really strange over there the other day. Anyway, tends to be a home for wayward animals and bowling balls. If you don't know what that's all about, you'll have to come to the steeplechase to learn more about the bowling balls.
And Grateful Dead paraphernalia
everywhere. It is one of the stops on three different courses of the steeplechase, three different distances of the steeplechase. So it's very, very, very busy, and you usually have a fire pit going, and it's just really like festive and fun. And I went there one year, they were doing s'mores on the fire, and you know, it's just what a cool place to stop. And it is known as the Holy Cow Family Shelter, and Pastor M. Bossy. So
yes. Always roams.
Always roams, right. Pastor M. Bossy always roams. David, they have a sense of humor down there, and they're really kind of fun, and they are the product of, this whole thing was the product of a gentleman by the name of Ed Austin, who started this event many, 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 many years ago, let's say 32 years ago exactly, and Ed is no longer with us. Ed, he left the planet a year ago or so, but his spirit is with this thing all the way. I've taken over a lot of his duties, and between myself and my friend Mary, who's contacts all the towns and lets them know what roads we're going to use and all, it's a very elaborate ride that we put on, and we get hundreds of people to show up, and we're looking for more and more people. We use it as a fundraiser, not only for the Willimantic area, the Windham Area Interfaith Ministries, but also for probably the largest of the group, which is Perception Programs, and also the Windham No Freeze Center. So we're raising money with critical agencies that support our community, and they are based out of and serve our neighbors in Eastern Connecticut. And just a little bit of follow-up here, the Windham Area Interfaith Ministries provides basic needs and support to area residents with insufficient incomes. Their goal is to keep people safely housed, meet the basic material needs, and connect them to resources that sustain their stability. So that will be that's the Interfaith Ministry. And then we also have Perception Programs. Don't I have a blurb on them here? I'm not really showing it. So I'm just going to go. Perception Programs promotes wellness through innovative and holistic behavioral health care for individuals and the Windham community. So they're a really, really essential organization. Lots of mental health support there. Really good. And they help people that have had previous issues or still are having issues with drug and or alcohol addiction, and also folks that have stepped out of prison and are trying to get back into, you know, functional life again. So perception programs is a really big deal, and we need as much help as we can get from them. And then the last one on my list here is the Wyndham Region No Freeze Project, and it's dedicated to the short and long-term survival of adults experiencing homelessness in the greater Wyndham community. Those are the three organizations that we are supporting with this ride, and I know that last year we were able to, because we have a very, very, very generous supporter of this, which is the Jeffrey P. Austin Family Foundation. And the Austin Foundation has a fundraising match. And so the money that is raised to help support the ride by the riders is then doubled. And so that's like a really big deal. I do know that, I don't know the exact figure, but I believe that we raised over $140,000 last year. So a big thank you to anyone who has ridden on this ride before. And a big shout out to, come on up and see if you can break the goal this year. Let's go for it. So there's all sorts of ways of getting involved in this. You can go to steeplechasebiketour.org online, and that will lock you right into the website and give you more information about our ride and our event. And then also you can go to Bike Reg, the infamous Bike Reg. Everybody who rides a bike, who likes to do events, a lot of people sign up through Bike Reg. I use my event, my cyclocross event uses Bike Reg. A lot of people use Bike Reg. So you can sign up through Bike Reg also. You can even do your pledging through Bike Reg too. So that's kind of a cool thing. And it's just a great event. It's a lot of fun. We are a local club, actually. We get a lot of people to show up in the club, and our club actually pays the entry fee of the club riders, and so then all they really need to focus on is to raise a little bit of money to do the ride, which is really, really nice and very generous of the club to do that sort of thing. So that's kind of a cool thing. But there's all sorts of other people out there that support the event, including the local bike shop in town, the local naturopath that I'm sitting here next to, and other people that are real, real involved in helping out with the Steeplechase Bike Tour. It's a big deal. Look, there you are right there, Fran, right there on the website.
Yeah.
Healing Earth Natural Health. Look at that. That's you. So anyway, you can also connect us on social media. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter X, whatever you want to call them, the Tweety Bird X, and also Instagram. And you'll find all sorts of information about the Steeplechase Bike Tour, including pictures. And, you know, you can see folks having a really good time on this ride. Let me tell you a little bit about the roots, because that's my specialty. I'm the guy who puts the roots together. And so I want to just mention a few things that we have done this year. We have the very base ride, which we had many, many years ago and was actually listed in Bicycling Magazine as one of the top rides in the country to do because it was so beautiful. And that is our 20-mile ride. And I think we had a 28-mile option on that ride many, many, many years ago when I first designed that ride. But anyway, it's a 20-mile loop through the Wyndhams and passed back through the Holy Cow Family Shelter. It's got a couple of rest stops on it, and it's just really lovely and beautiful, and it's about as flat as we can give you out here in northeastern Connecticut, and it's not flat, but it's, you know, what we got. We don't live in a flat area. It's not Florida. God, I'm so thankful it's not Florida. Anyway, so anyway, that's our 20-mile loop, and then we have a 35-mile road ride, and the 35-mile road ride is, it's a little bit hillier. It goes up into Storrs and goes right through the middle of the University of Connecticut campus just before all the kids get back. They're coming soon. Keep your eyes open on that one. And stops at St. Mark's, is it? Church, I think, in Storrs is where we stop, and we have a nice rest stop there, and then there's a lot of downhill after that, and then eventually converging upon the Holy Cow Family Shelter. And it's a nice 35-mile ride. Very, very nice. Challenging, but very nice. And then we have a 100K ride. And the 100K ride is 62 miles, and it goes out through a number of places, and through Colombia and Lebanon, and down through Franklin and into Baltic and Sprague and Hanover, and it's back through Scotland, and then eventually the Holy Cow Family Shelter. So anyway, it's a beautiful ride. I've heard people say we used to have a 50-mile ride, which we may bring back in the future, but they've said, you know, I think the 62-mile ride is actually easier than the 50-mile ride was. So it's a nice metric century if you're looking for a great ride. And we would love to see you there. And we have lots of support and live music afterwards and food and all sorts of good stuff. So anyway, it is the Steeplechase Bike Tour, and it is happening this Saturday. Yes, Saturday, because the churches are closed on Saturdays. And so it is happening this Saturday, the 19th of August, and it is up here in the Willimantic Mansfield area, and we'd love to see you here. So why don't you stop by and say hi. I'll be out there doing some emceeing, announcing service at the very beginning of the ride, and hopefully greeting riders when they're coming back in. So stop by and say hi to Pedal and Ron, if you don't mind. That'd be great. Love to meet you.
No, anyway, I'm not sure what I'm doing.
And Fran's not sure what she's doing, because she's still suffering from a back injury, which is getting daily better, and back and knee. It is getting daily better. So she's looking at and possibly thinking about doing the 20-mile ride.
I'm definitely thinking about doing the 20. It depends on what PT says today.
I forgot one other thing. We have a gravel event also. We have an 18-mile gravel ride, which involves the airline trail, which is probably no more than a quarter mile away from the start finish of the actual event on Gilson Square. So that beauty of that is it's pretty safe, because it's a car free rail trail, and really, really pretty. And it goes up into the Goodwin Forest and back down. So it's very, very pretty. Almost forgot about the gravel ride. Future thoughts are going to be to expand that ride. So I have an option of making that ride a lot longer if we need to do that in the future. And we might be discussing that next year. So that's the Steeplechase Bike Tour. That's what I really wanted to talk about today. I really wanted to get the information out, let everybody know what's going on. It's something that's been near and dear to me for a very, very long time. And it's a good event. It's a really, really good event. So come on out and play with us this weekend. I checked the weather already. It's going to be, yes, perfect. That's
nice.
What I hear. That's what I hear. That's according to our friends at the Weather Bug. And the Weather Bug says that the weather looks pretty darn good. So we're hoping, and you know, we have had very, very few of these events rained out. It's really been good. Fran and I have been in one of them, but yeah. But we rode anyway, and we got pretty wet. But anyway, it's what it is. You know,
high,
you ride a bike.
78 on Saturday.
Yeah,
looks,
I know.
Really nice.
I know. It looks like a gorgeous, gorgeous day. So
yeah,
the weather looks good. The venue is wonderful. We start and finish at the Wyndham Community Center / Senior Center, right on Valley Street in Willimantic, right between Valley and Main. It's just a great place to have a really, really good time. It's very, very well supported. Hopefully, by the time I get done with all my friends this week, it will be very well marked. And you'll be able to use arrows in which to guide you along the way, or cue sheets if you would prefer a cue sheet. Or, of course, it will be on Ride with GPS, and you can GPS the files down onto your computer, and you can use that too. So, anyway, hey, Kevin, I see you're out there doing like tons and tons of trail work. I ran into a gentleman the other day who's new to the area, and I pointed him in your direction, because this Quiet Corner NEMBA group that we have is just rockstar wonderful. They are cutting new trails. They're doing all sorts of good work out there for mountain biking. There's some amazing projects out here. So you know, Northeastern Connecticut is a gift. It is a gift to the world, especially if you own a bicycle or ride a bicycle. This place is not like many other places out there. I've had so many people comment on it that have come and visited me from afar, and they just go, I just had no idea this place existed. And you know, when I was in the industry, I used to get sales reps that would, I was a sales rep in the industry, and I used to get sales managers that would come out, and they would, they'd want to ride because, you know, they knew I was a road rider, and they wanted to go for a bike ride with me. So I'd tell them, bring your shoes, bring your helmet, and give me your bike size, and we'll go for a ride. So I could usually provide them with a bike, and then we would go out and do a little road ride. And I remember one particular gentleman, he said to me, you know, we had stopped at the top of this very, very long climb, and he wanted to just stop and take pictures. And so he was taking pictures and all. And he looked at me and said, Ron, he goes, I've got to ask you, he said, a very important question. And I'm like, yeah, what's the thing and what's going on? And he said, where are the cars? Right, where are the cars? And I looked at my watch and I went, oh, well, it's after 6 o'clock. They're all home. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, people get home from work, and because you live out here and it's beautiful, they go back home. Their home may be a small mini farm. Their home may be a beautiful yard. They're working around their houses, or they're out riding their bikes like we are. And that's where people are at after 6 p.m. up here in Northeastern Connecticut. So he was like completely blown away and said to me, I just don't understand how you can leave your house in the morning, because he said, this is the most beautiful place I've ever ridden my bike. He was from where was he from? Monterey, California. And he just blew him away. He'd never ever been on a bike ride with so few cars. That's a common experience out here. We depending on the roads you choose, you know, Pedal and Ron has a saying, and it's been with me for pretty much all my riding life, and it's roads with names, not numbers. Stay off the state highways. That's my game. That's it. We got to wrap this thing up here, because you wasted a perfectly good hour with me, and so we're going to move on to events. The bicycle game on the early history of bicycles in Hartford is still going on in Hartford. The Steeplechase Bike Tour, we obviously just heard an awful lot about, which is really good. The 78th edition of the Vuelta a España starts on August 26th. We've got MADE, a industry show that will basically take place from August 24th to 27th in Portland, Oregon, with handmade bicycles, really cool stuff. Finishing Points, wow, busy week. We had the Worlds, we had the finish up of the Worlds, we had all sorts of fun stuff going on here. We've got, you know, big work being done on the Steeplechase Bike Tour. We got a lot of things happening here. So anyway, that's what we do here. So it's busy, it's fun, it's a beautiful thing. And don't I have some notes here somewhere? I know I do. Don't forget about that bicycle game at the Historical Society in Hartford. The Steeplechase, how about a bicycle bus? Maybe you should do a bicycle bus. That'd be kind of a cool thing. Interesting worlds this year. Remember, cyclocross is coming soon. I'll say it again, it won't be my last time. Get loud. Get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride, and join the revolution of change. Hey, take a day. Park that car or truck. You might just surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle advocacy, bicycle culture, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this on Facebook Live, then leave a comment below. If you are listening to this in audio file, you can just send me a comment at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also visit our Facebook page, Bicycle Talk. This is Pedal and Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you for listening. See you next week. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle.